You can probably relate to this time of year, when your singing voice is just, well, you know.
My throat's really red, I'm sure, and it has a raw feeling to it.
Yay! Keep doing that, and you'll end up having to see a serious throat doctor.
It's fantastic. It's like somebody's coated it with a medication. You have my heart inside
of your hands. That vocal story with the Adele happy ending there is the real-life story of a whole bunch of Grammy-winning singing legends whose hard-working larynxes have been restored by award-winning throat surgeon Dr. Steven Zeitels.
Seeing as it's a vocal performance, I need to thank my doctors, I suppose, who brought my voice back. So Steven Zeitels, Ruth Epstein, Theo Joseph, and Paul Ettlinger, thank you very much.
That's Adele at the Grammys last year, not thanking her vocal coach for her award, but instead thanking our next guest, Dr. Steven Zeitels, who's the founder and director of the Massachusetts General Hospital Center for Laryngeal Surgery and Voice Rehabilitation. His success with singers comes directly from the even bigger miracles he's produced for people with throat cancer. Dr. Zeitels was recently profiled by The New Yorker and says the original miracle is the human voice box itself.
The wiring from the human brain to the vocal fold is the densest wiring of anything in the human body, maybe 7 times greater than the face, and it's the result of tremendous evolution, and it gave us our advantage as human beings. That being said, it is a organ that functions on mechanical principles, and those principles, if optimized, you can enhance the voice. So we decided to really look at what needed to be done to restore these mechanical properties, and we've been approaching each one of these, whether it's for breathing or for sound, one at a time, and integrated some tremendous basic scientists to help us get there.
How much of this could be an actual enhancement situation where you're not simply restoring, but you're adding bass notes
you've got it. So if you try to think through what we're dealing with here, we're going for people who are speaking first, cancer patients and so forth. If I'm speaking to you and even what you utilize with your voice to do your show, you're probably only utilizing 10% of the mechanical dynamic range of your vocal folds because you don't have to sing high notes. So in turn, we're going to restore speech long before singing. If you accept that we can mechanically alter pliability, well, we will then ultimately have a pliable enough material to restore high notes. Now, if you take some of the greatest vocalists on the earth, their vocal folds are most of their career not getting older but having been used more, and their brain wiring, what I mentioned before, is allowing them, despite the constant injury, to keep performing. What happens if at the age of 40, 50, or 60, you restore the pliability as if they're 20? Now that 40, 30, or 20 years of brain wiring that adjusted to the change is now utilizing mechanical tissues that are like they're 20. That translates to super singers.
Wow.
It would be the equivalent of a person being a pole vaulter, the best in the world, and then placing them into a place where there's less gravity.
So you could make me a tenor without kneeing me in the groin, right? Is what you're saying, right?
What I'm saying is the greatest singers there are have been able to keep going despite injury. And, you know, give you an example. Someone I've worked closely with over the last decade is Steve Tyler. Steven's tissues are very, very unique. He can do things with his vocal cords other people can't do.
Oh, yeah.
However, his tissues are not where they are today. They were 20 years ago. So what if I could make his vocal cords as soft as they were 20 or 25 years ago? And he has the skill sets to do what he does now. He's creating sounds that are possibly so unique that no one's ever heard of.
Well, you know, doctor, whenever a medical doctor from Mass General mentions Steve Tyler, that is, of course, a music cue in radio. Hold on. All right, as a medical professional here, are you encouraging people to do that with their voice?
Absolutely not. But I think that you have to say to yourself that Stephen achieves what he needs to achieve with his voice. There aren't right and wrong here. When I was young, the gentleman, his name was Charles Vaughn, who taught me about voice, who, you know, around here in Boston, you know, I asked him when I was in my early 20s, so what constitutes a great voice? And he looked at me and smiled. It's the voice that makes the most people happy. And it is not related to whether you like opera or you like rock. If you make people smile, and a lot of them smile, you have a great voice. And I've been able to see some of the greatest singers on the earth in various genres, both listening to them in the office as well as on stage.
It sounds like sitting in your waiting room is like going to the Grammys.
Wait, we have to qualify something. There are not that many great singers who need a lot of help frequently. My waiting room is full of cancer patients.
And that was really my next question. How much of this success comes from the heartbreaking lessons you've learned from restorative surgery in cancer of the larynx?
Yeah, I mean, that is my main mission in my career is just that. I have been a cancer surgeon since I was in residency. What I seem to sense in the 1990s is that the discipline of surgical oncology wasn't particularly there in the management of performing vocalists. So the rigors of how you and the details were not there, in my view. So the management of elite singers became part of my process of innovating the surgical procedures. I did it first in cancer and said, there's room for improvement here. And of course, the future is create scenarios that were never even thought possible, which is the gel. So to be clear, I'm a cancer surgeon who happens to take care of singers. I'm not a singing doctor.
Well, it's an amazing story, and it's profiled in The New Yorker. Before we go, I can't resist.
And now was earth to plow, all guns to bear. I was always there, right there on the chart.
Tom Waits, is this someone who needs help vocally, or is this a gifted singer, in your view, as a medical doctor?
One of the problems, and I think you're getting to this, is an abnormally sounding voice should probably be examined. So, for instance, Roger came in, Roger Daltrey, and he was performing a lot and clearly has done this for many decades, and he's talked about this. He had an area of precancerous dysplasia. So at some level, your question about Waits is, should he be examined? Sure, but is there necessarily a problem? No. You can create sound effects that do not necessarily mean there's something to worry about, or you can create sound effects with the changes on your vocal cords. It's all quite benign. It just creates a certain type of unique timbre.
Well, Doc, it's been great talking to you.
Those were your false chords.
That's right.
That'll get you tired.
All right.
This is your true chords.
I know. I got a show to do. All right, Dr. Zeitels, thanks so much.
You're very welcome.